That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Wednesday. It is a hump day. Hope everyone's doing great. Hey, Jax, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, it's hump day, which means we're getting over the hump this week. It does feel like it deserves to be a Thursday. I'm not going to lie.
I couldn't agree more, but imagine my surprise when I woke up and it wasn't Tuesday. Like, I was just thought it was Tuesday. The first half of the hump did go by rather quickly.
Oh, so we're saying opposite things.
Yeah, but like, of course, it should always be a Thursday.
Okay, you just like vehemently agreed with me.
And yeah, of course. No,
and then disagreed.
I agree with your right to be alive on a Thursday. Like, I'll never take that away from you.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. But in order to get to tomorrow, we have to get through today.
You know, I do feel that. Like, it should be a Thursday.
That's what I'm saying.
But also grateful for a Wednesday. Because you know what? It's not a Tuesday and it ain't a Monday.
That's true. And you get to hump someone you love. So, you know, call Dew, call Brew, get the boys out here. It's going down.
Because you know what?
We them boys. We making noise.
We making. I did a little remix. We making noise. I'm just in this like musical headspace because I told you yesterday I've been working a lot on my song.
Okay.
It's pretty much done. Like,
can you give us a tease? Can you give us like a lyric?
Yeah. Okay. You know what I can? We came up with this like last week. And by we, I mean my songwriter, Felipe. Like, I didn't do it. But last week we were doing the bridge and he came up with a lyric that references Toast, which like I just loved so much. It's called, should I sing it or just like say the line?
Whatever you feel more comfortable with.
A toast to us, the wild ones. Toast to the wild ones. So that was just like really exciting.
That is exciting.
I know.
The pitch is going to need work. Sorry, that just like wasn't your best, but I know.
Well, hurt me where it actually hurts, you know.
But I know that like the song is gonna like, you have an amazing voice. You just like didn't grace us with it this morning.
You fucking bitch! Like that's like me hurting you like right at your core. Like I don't even know what I could say to hurt
I'm
you.
I'm here
equally.
to make you better, stronger, the best version of you.
You know what? I'm good.
No.
I'm good.
No, I won't let you put out mediocrity.
Put out mediocrity. I can't fucking talk to you anymore. You're so fucking negative.
Oh my God, I'm so supportive.
Put out
you
mediocrity.
You just want blind support and you're not going to
no,
get that
I don't.
From your girly.
Put out mediocrity. Like, I wasn't performing. I was just like sharing a lyric. Like, you don't have to analyze everything, okay?
Okay, fine.
This is already a hard day for me. Like, Christine and Cody from Sister Wives are broken up. Like, you have no sympathy for what I'm going through.
I don't, because I don't know what it means and I'm going to need you to explain it to me.
Can't
in
wait.
The Fast Five.
Yeah, of course we're talking about that. We're also talking about Vanderpump Rules that was on last night. And it's just like a good hump day to be alive.
Yes. Yes, it is. We're in the thick of November. I'm really feeling this
freezing
November energy. You know, I'm really liking the space that we're in.
I would like the space that I was in too if I lived in a home where I could see the outside. So yeah, my bunker doesn't really allow me to understand the seasonal changes.
Got it. But like when you leave your house, are you
freezing?
You're feeling it?
Yeah, I mean, I got my coat on today, Sherpa.
Oh, it's, there she is.
Yeah, I love being, you know, in the cold weather, but today was just like a little colder than I expected. I forgot to watch the weather snitch. And I didn't realize, like, it's fully winter outside.
Yeah.
Today.
I watched the weather snitch, and she told me what I needed to know. So I put on this little cozy little buzzer that has little pictures
it's really cute.
Of Teddy's, Ted. I'm going to wear it to the Ted 3 premiere.
You'll be waiting a long time.
I won't be getting in.
Literally.
In this.
No, I actually think they would appreciate the originality and creativity. And the motivation and spirit for the brand.
For sure. But they'd be like, girl, you're wearing a sweatshirt to a premiere. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, I guess. That's very true.
Yeah.
What was I going to say?
About my sweater?
No. Whatever. I can't remember. I'm just excited to chat, you know? I love chatting.
Great.
Chat, chat, chat.
Did you do something new with your makeup today?
No.
It looks like you have like a smoky eye.
No.
You didn't do the browns.
I've been doing the brown like every day.
It looks like a different.
Since you did my makeup.
It looks like a different color brown.
Holy shit. Yes. I used a different bronzer like.
As your
lid. As my lid. Wow. You're very observatory.
I'm observant. I'm always paying attention.
Always. It's a little annoying. Like, pay less attention.
It's Jackie,
pay less shoe source, okay?
It's who I am.
Are Payless Shoe Sources still in business?
I haven't seen one in a while.
Miss their BOGO energy. Payless. Oh, they rebranded?
Yeah, it's just called Payless.
It's not Payless Shoe Source anymore?
No, if it ever was.
100% it was.
Okay, it's just Payless.
Was it Payless Shoe Source or Payless Shoe Stores? I think Source. Now that I think about it, like such a bizarre name for a store.
Yeah, but that's why I think it was just called Payless.
Yeah, no, I do think that they eventually rebranded to Payless. I'm being dead serious.
Okay.
No, this is a quick Google.
Okay, hopefully it's working out for them. I hope they're still in business. But I don't think there's a lot in the city if there ever were.
There was one, I remember. Mm-hmm. Payless Shoe Stores. They are called Payless now. They still have a website. But yes, the store in Queens on Google, it's Payless Shoe Source. I guess it hasn't updated to the new name.
They haven't gotten the new branding from the headquarters yet.
Yeah, honestly, like, kind of craving a Payless Shoe Source right now. They had some bomb BOGO sales. Buy one, get one. Mm-hmm. So yeah, today's just going to be a fabulous regular day of the toast. I feel like it's been so long since we've had like normalcy here because I was in Italy, then there was the COVID exposure, and then there was Halloween, and now I'm just so excited to be like in my regular clothes.
Yes.
Sitting and chatting. On my side of the set.
Yes, but we did have a regular show yesterday,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm getting back into the groove, you know? Okay. I'm such a routine-based girl. I don't know if you know that about me.
I would say that you are.
Really?
You're a creature of habit.
A creature of habit. And you know what? I remember what I was going to say 5 minutes ago. You know what I did yesterday that I think I'm going to start implementing into my everyday life? Hmm. While I was getting ready for the toast, I put on the Today Show. So when I get ready, it's like the third hour of today. And it's just like nonsense, like some celebrity interviews. Yesterday, I saw the guy from The Sopranos and the golf player. I don't know. I just feel like it was a good way to start my day. Like
that's interesting because this morning I put on Give Them Lala with Randall because someone told me that she talks about the Randall situation at 227 and I had to go run and listen and I did and like what she says is that she won't be talking about it. She's not ready to talk about it. Her daughter needs privacy. Mm-hmm. Please respect that. And then she talks about how it's affected her sobriety, which spoiler alert, it's been totally fine.
Okay, good.
And she actually feels stronger than ever in her sobriety during this time. But then I was like sitting there doing my makeup, listening to a podcast, and I was like, you know, this is kind of nice. It's like a little companion. So I was like, maybe I should start listening to a podcast before I get ready for the toast. But it would have to be something like so different from our show.
Because you don't want to implant.
I don't want to. Yeah, it would influence like what I say. Mm-hmm. And then I started like talking like these people. And like, I like to have my own thing going on.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know. I would have to be just something completely random.
Yeah. Well, the third hour of the Today Show is not like the best, I would say. I think
who hosts it?
Al Roker's there, and I don't know the other three people. And they were doing like fun, you know, fashion segments. You know, cable knit sweaters are back in style. And they had a bunch of celeb interviews and just like travel segments. So it was just like real, like giving me, you know, Morning Glory vibes.
Like giving you nothing.
Giving me nothing, but just like everything at the same time. Yes. Like inner peace, like just knowing like there's so much going on in the world. Like this is what these people are talking about. Like yeah. It was kind of like everything, you know?
Yeah.
But I do wish like my schedule better synced up with like Hoda, you know? Because I think that's probably if I were to associate myself with like any hour of the Today Show would probably be the fourth.
Got it.
Which I think is Hoda and Jenna. Mm. But no, I'm stuck in the third hour. And it's, I don't know, I just kind of like felt like an adult, like watching cable in the morning, like crazy.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting prospect. I might have to find like the right podcast that talks about nothing that we talk about.
What do you usually listen to or do with your when you're doing your makeup and your hair in the mornings?
Pretty much silence.
Me too.
Sometimes music if it's Friday or if there's like an album that came out that I'm really wanting to listen to. But sometimes when I put on music, it makes me move slower because I'm like swaying days I'm in always in a rush because I'm always like now I have to like make breakfast before I leave the house because I'm always hungry. So
that's so cute.
That like takes up time. Or I like to just get as much sleep as I can and then like rush the makeup
process. Oh, that's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty much it for me. What about you? Anything else you want to share with the group? Oh, I watched Brittany Murphy.
I saw.
It was really upsetting.
Yeah.
I have to watch your guys' recap of it.
Okay.
But I kind of like that towards the end. I like how the documentary was called What Happened to Brittany Murphy and like we still don't know. But the overall consensus, like there isn't this major conspiracy. Like she probably wasn't poisoned, but she was controlled and manipulated so much to the point where like she wasn't able to take care of herself, and like she literally died of like
neglect.
Yeah, like this is gonna sound terrible, but like a dog, like we don't feed a dog, like it was so upsetting and so much weirdness. We were so young, I don't really remember, and I was never really invested in the story, but I loved her as an actress, Uptown Girls, all that stuff. But the mom and the boyfriend on Larry King, like it was so crazy, like you can't believe this stuff actually happened.
Yeah, that's what we said. You should check it out. I'm sure we have the same opinion.
Yeah, no, I want to watch it. But I thought it was very well done.
It was.
And they did torture us with 1,000 pieces, you know?
No.
Two parts is 2 hours.
2 parts is good. Suffices.
It's good.
Okay, so without further ado, we have a lot to talk about today. So let's jump right into the Fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Organifi, a line of organic superfood blends that offer plant-based nutrition made with high-quality ingredients. Each Organifi blend is a science-backed craft to the most effective doses with ingredients that are organic and free of fillers and contain less than 3 grams of sugar per serving. The Organifi green juice with essential superfoods and a clinical dose of ashwagandha, it helps reduce stress, support healthy cortisol levels, and the Organifi gold, which is a superfood tea that supports rest and relaxation so you can wake up feeling refreshed. Each Organifi blend is easy to use by simply mixing it with water or your favorite beverage while on the go, and they don't compromise the quality for taste. Organifi takes pride in offering the best tasting superfood products on the market at a price that works to just less than $3 a day. You can experience Organifi's high quality superfoods without breaking the bank. Go to Organifi.com/toast and use the code toast for 20% off your order. That's Organifi.com/toast. Use code toast for 20% off any item.
Great. Okay, our first story, Britney Spears is speaking out and she's blaming her mom for giving her dad the idea of a conservatorship. So Britney took to Instagram as she always does, but in a now deleted Instagram post last night where she was spilling some tea. She's talking about the moment that she smiled. She said, "I realize I haven't in a very long time. My mom gets so concerned and says, 'You're acting weird. What's wrong with you?' I say, 'Hi, my name is Britney Spears. Nice to finally meet you.' Anyway," she said, "my dad may have started the conservatorship 13 years ago, but what people don't know is that my mom is the one who gave him the idea. I will never get those years back. She secretly ruined my life. Mm. And yes, I will call her and Lou Taylor out on it. So take your whole 'I have no idea what's going on' attitude right. And go fuck yourself. Ooh. You know exactly what you did. My dad is not smart enough to ever think of a conservatorship, but tonight I will smile knowing I have a new life ahead of me."
You know what? I think for a while, like, of course, the villain of the story has always been Jamie Spears. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, not people who are so invested in the movement, but just, like, people who have been following, and myself included, are really unsure of, like, where other members of the family, like, have landed in this whole thing. Like, were they Team Britney? Were they secretly just, like, stealing her money? And slowly but surely, she has peeled back the layers and showed us, like, it's not just Jamie here. Like, he's the face of this thing.
Yeah.
But it's really the whole family who were just, like, all on board, all living off the estate.
And he couldn't do this alone because right. If everybody else in the family had Britney's back, then like he would be the outcast. And it's like, what are you doing, right. You grifter?
Yeah.
But he clearly had the support of other members of the family if he was able to get away with this.
And usually, like, my philosophy is, like, I do not support, really, no matter what's going on, like, airing your dirty laundry family stuff publicly. Like, I just think, you know, family stuff should remain private. But this, I'm like living for every Instagram caption, like more, can't post enough, can't get enough.
That ethos doesn't apply here because it's been aired. It was aired right. The day 13 years ago when they took her to court and put her under conservatorship.
Yeah.
And they put her life even more out in the public. Like, this isn't, you know, family tings. Like, this is straight up betrayal.
Agreed. But, you know, it's just not something I naturally, like, lean into.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but I do feel like, you know,
this is an exception to the
lines
rule.
Have been crossed here. There are none. Like, it's fair game. What they did to her, nothing she could ever say or ever do would compare to what they did to her. So if she wants to take little jabs here and there, go off queen.
Go off queen. There's also a lot of talk I've been seeing, especially on Dumois, like, about a potential Disney biopic and, like, how allegedly, like, Margot Robbie is dying to play Britney, and Britney's been, like, rejecting all these scripts, and she posted a video on her Instagram, like, "I've been getting all these scripts about my life, and, like, they're all just filled with lies. Like, who's gonna write a movie about me? Nobody knows what I've been going through for the last 13 years.
So why doesn't she get involved?
I'm sure she will. She's busy. Like, she's just got her freedom. Like,
yeah.
She needs to live a little bit, but I definitely think there should and probably will be a movie, and I do think Margot Robbie's the perfect person to play her.
Yeah, she should take some time off, and then she should be executive producing that helping with the script. Like, it should really be Britney's story told at a very, like, high level.
And it should be based on, like, real things from the person who experienced
it. And, like, we do need one official Britney movie, doc, or something, because we have all these other ones that she's like saying, like, stop, even though they're like so critically acclaimed
and they're helping framing technically.
Britney Spears, Britney versus Spears, like, her and Sam are like, stop making money off of her
our
trauma
story. Yeah,
so we need her to get involved in the official one to put all the other ones to bed, and right. also so I know which one to watch.
Yeah, no, I want to watch the Britney approved one. I want to watch the one that Britney's involved in, and I assume not yet, obviously, because, again, she's just, like, she's been taking, like, a million vacations. She can finally, like, travel without going through, like, having to put in paperwork. Like, she could just go.
Yeah.
I think there'll be, like, a movie, a book. I think there'll be all of that in due time.
In due time. I'm in no rush.
I'm not putting any pressure on Brit. Like, live your life. Go on your vacations. Do your dances. Like, just be happy.
Yeah, I agree. Take your time. Okay, our next story, Sister Wives Christine Brown splits from Cody Brown after 25 years. She says, we've grown apart. Christine announced the pair split on Instagram Tuesday, saying the longtime couple had grown apart. Quote, after more than 25 years together, Cody and I have grown apart and have made the difficult decision to leave. We will continue to be a strong presence in each other's lives as we parent our beautiful children and support our wonderful family. At this time, we ask for your grace and kindness as we navigate through this stage with our family.
Okay, so let me just give you the backstory here.
Please do.
Sister Wives is a show on TLC about this literal, like, monster named Cody, okay. who has, the show started with three wives and they acquired a fourth one along the way. It's actually right when the show started, and there was, like, all this tension because, like, Robin, who was the new wife, was, like, this hot young thing, and, like, it was definitely weirdness.
Okay.
So the first woman he married was Mary,
mm-hmm.
and they have one kid together, and I think that if you asked me or any Sister Wives fan, like, who would be the first wife to leave, it was always going to be Mary. Like, it was just, she was so unhappy, always. And he legally married her a million years ago, like, in the 90s, and they were married. And then they got other wives, but...
What is the basis for their polygamy? Like,
I believe they're Mormon.
Okay.
But, like, they're always fleeing different communities. Like, the show started in Utah. They live in Flagstaff. Now they moved to Nevada at some point. Like, I don't know, like, what church... I think they're real, like, outsiders, like, okay. of their community. So he married Mary legally. And then when they decided to become, like, polygamous, they brought on Janelle. But he only married her spiritually. Of course, you can't legally have multiple marriages. So the woman he was always married to was Mary, the first one. Then Janelle, then Christine, who's the one who just left. Then when Robin came along, when they got the show, he legally separated from the original wife, Mary, to legally marry Robin. And that just changed the dynamic. Like, why did you not legally separate from Mary to marry Janelle? So there has just been so much weirdness since then. And when you watch a show, I haven't watched up or kept up with every episode, but, like, these are miserable people. Like, everything they do is just miserable. Like, the living conditions, like, everything is just miserable. They're unhappy people. So I'm not surprised that a wife left. I am surprised, one, that it took this long, and B, that it was Christine. But allegedly, I didn't watch last season. At the end of the episode, they had moved to Flagstaff, and Christine was just like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, where I'm so unhappy. Like, so to people who are really devout watchers of the show, it's not surprising, but I do think that a lot of people would have assumed Mary would have gone first, because she's maybe, just like, an unhappy woman.
Maybe Christine is breaking down the door.
Oh yes.
And now the women, they might see how Christine fares out there.
Yeah,
you know. But I'm sure she'll get, like, a condo and a new man and a book.
Maybe two.
And maybe
a book.
Two.
Yeah.
And then Mary will be like, if Christine nice. Can do it, I can do it.
See, and Mary only shares one kid with Cody. Christine, who just left, shares five.
Whoa.
So it's just, like, a lot. And you know what?
I need a big condo.
I think a part of the reason why these women don't leave is because of the show. So I don't know what the hell they do for a living, but, like, they have five homes, like, because they have five wives. You know what I mean? They literally, I remember when they moved to Nevada, they bought a whole cul-de-sac. Because
each
have their own home, and he spends certain nights.
So,
except in the first house they lived in Utah, it was literally, like, this one home with four apartments. It was so sad.
Oh my God. Wait, so couldn't Christine just stay in her solo home?
Probably.
Oh, well, even easier.
I mean, I don't know if she would want to. It's like, it's so toxic, Jackie. Like, okay. You watch one episode, you don't know how these people live, and you really feel bad for the kids.
When, like, you said, like, they own five homes, I was like, she could go stay in another one.
They're all
on one street.
I don't know what the Flagstaff conditions are, but the last time I watched a show in Nevada, they were all on a cul-de-sac. It was, like, four identical model homes.
How does this man afford all of this?
Right.
And if it wasn't for the show, like, how does one man live a polygamous lifestyle?
Exactly.
Comfortably.
So when the show first started, they were living in one home with three apartments, and, like, that would make sense for how like one guy supports three wives.
Right.
But now I think the show pays them very well. I know they do. Oh, here's the best part. I cannot believe I forgot to tell you this. Mary, the initial wife, is a LuLaRoe retailer.
Queen.
So there's just like all these things going on. And yes, so the show is a major part of it. I think they make a lot of money from the show. Like, who would walk away from that? Like, they went from living in one home with four families to living in a cul-de-sac, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a very complex dynamic, I would say.
Got it. Okay, well, thank you for that brief explainer. I'm rooting for Christine. I hope that, you know, she lives a happy, fruitful life and that she can inspire other women within her own family and maybe other women elsewhere.
I know it's easy for me to say this because she left, but like she was always my favorite. But the thing is like every season, I remember Mary's always been like miserable. There was a time when Janelle, the second wife, was like super miz, and we thought she was gonna leave. So it's like kind of a thing with their show. It's like every season some wife is miserable about something, but none of them ever actually leave. And I just think that this is like a pivotal moment.
Wow. Okay, so wait, I'm looking at this picture. Which one is Christine?
All the way on the left.
Okay.
Okay, I'll do a little thing for you, okay?
Okay.
Christine. Mm-hmm. First wife, Mary. Wow, she got shoved all the way to the end. That's Mary. She's the LuLaRoe retailer. The one in the pink, this is on the People magazine article, that's Robin. That's the hot young thing that came in at the beginning of the show, and she's the disruptor.
Okay.
Obviously, the middle monster is Cody. I don't know how this man pulled four women. He's so weird looking. And then the little short one is Janelle.
Okay, cute.
Yeah. Janelle went through this major weight loss a couple years ago. I think she lost like over 100 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's kind of like an interesting, it's its own planet, the Sister Wives universe, you know?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people like vacation on that planet. So that's the tea.
That's the tea. Where are my fellow Sister Wives at? Like obsessed. I started watching the show in high school. Like, and I don't keep up with it anymore, but when it's on, I'll obviously watch it. It's like, see what the gang's up to. The kids have gotten so old.
How many kids total?
1,000. probably like
10.
Mary, and 6 between the two wives. Robin had her own kids before.
Okay.
And then her and Cody had some. So there's like a...
So this is like blended on steroids.
It's the blended wives.
Yeah. No, this is like blended to the next level.
Yeah.
Times four.
Four different homes.
To the nth degree.
Yeah, 100%.
Great. Are you ready for our next story?
Is it the next story that's brought to you by ShipStation?
It is.
That's great. Because the holidays are the most wonderful time of year. We were literally just talking about that. But if you're running an online store, you know it can also be the craziest and busy time of your year. So if you've got inventory to manage, orders to fill, and a growing list of stressed out customers checking in twice a day, wondering those last minute gifts are going to arrive on time, check out ShipStation. The hassle of shipping out holiday orders melts away, leaving you with happy customers and more freedom to run your business. If you sell anything online, we don't need to tell you that shipping can be very frustrating. So many carriers, tons of factors that go into figuring out the best rate for each order. And with more people shopping online every year, especially given the pandemic, ShipStation is making the easy part of running your business online your shipping. You can get back to doing what you're passionate about, which is growing your business. They help you easily import your orders from every sales channel, whether that's Amazon, eBay, Etsy, or even your own website, and they automate just about any shipping task. It's all used on one easy-to-use dashboard. You could change your shipping solution. It can seem daunting to do that, but you'll be so much happier. ShipStation works with all major carriers, international and local, like FedEx, USPS, and UPS. 98% of companies that use ShipStation for a year keep using it for as long as they're in business. It's that good. Make this holiday season a little brighter with ShipStation. Use our offer code TOAST to get a 60-day free trial, just enough time to handle the holiday shipping rush. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code TOAST, ShipStation. Make ship happen.
Love it. Okay, next story. Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin's daughter, Delilah Bell Hamlin, says she was hospitalized after overdosing on prescription drugs. Okay, Delilah Bell Hamlin took to Instagram the other night to share her story in a nearly 30-minute video that was originally an IG Live that she then uploaded to her Instagram, so you can go and watch it. She said, here's my story, I guess. And she reflected on the past year of her search for answers about her health. She noted that some people who remain unnamed told her not to talk about what she experienced.
Yeah, they remain unnamed, but I feel as though she made it pretty clear it was her mom.
Okay, so this Us Weekly article has a lot of the details of what she experienced. She said, this is scary to do. Basically, in the beginning of the year, I want to say February and March, is when I got my COVID-19 vaccine. And after the second vaccine, I was sick for like 36 hours. I felt like my bones were breaking, but like whatever. That's when everything kind of started. She then recalled flying home from the UK to get her second dose of the Moderna shot, which wasn't available at the UK at the time. Following her 11-hour flight, she had a severe panic attack and called her housekeeper for help. She said...
She called her housekeeper for help, not her mom. Okay.
Yes, she said that she didn't think her parents would come down. So I read this article and I was still really confused because there's so much information in here. So I watched the whole video.
Okay, I watched like half of it because it was long.
To get to try and understand what she was saying because there's a lot to... She's going through... so much. Like, yeah. There are so many things going on. She said, I didn't realize that the vaccine would cause an autoimmune response in my body. Basically, it flared up and triggered certain autoimmune diseases that I didn't know I had. I started getting really sick. I started feeling like I had the flu. I was getting migraines. I was having panic attacks. And it was like my body was in constant fight or flight mode. It was horrible. So the vaccine for her triggered like these dormant autoimmune diseases that
she didn't know she had.
She didn't know she had PANDAS. And then also, this anxiety disorder that was giving her terrible panic attacks. Then also inflammation of the brain. Then she got tested for tick-borne illnesses.
Like Lyme disease.
And that's when she was like, you know, which is so ironic. Oh. And so that has people wondering if she didn't want to share her story because she has Lyme disease.
Right. And her mother doubted the fact that Yolanda did and accused her of having Munchausen syndrome.
Right. So that is one of the many ailments that she's struggling with. And so eventually...
By the way, the way that I perceived it was that her mom didn't want her to say it publicly because essentially what she's saying is like this whole thing is as a result of the vaccine.
Yes.
And she said, I'm not anti-vax. Like, this is just what happened to me. And I think this is a very rare thing to happen. But she doesn't... I don't think Lisa wanted her kid out there like making a political statement.
Yes, there are people who think that, and also she never said it was her mom who didn't want her to say.
No,
she
we're
said
just guessing.
Someone close to her didn't want to say, and throughout the video, there's like moments where it's like her parents are very much there for her, and then there are also moments where it's like
she called her housekeeper.
Also, she was very sick and she had to go do a shoot in Portugal, and her mom still made her go. She was like, "Our mom has just taught us, you know, like even if you're dying, like you have to work, like a strong work ethic, but you know." There is a limit. And then she also said that her and her family found this facility for her to go to in Arizona where she could like detoxify. So also the main headline here was that she was having really terrible panic attacks. She started seeing a psychiatrist who overprescribed her Xanax. She became extremely dependent on Xanax, taking
3 milligrams a day.
3 milligrams a day, which is so much. And she's a tiny person.
Yeah.
And so she was on that medication, and one night she also took Benadryl, and she had to go to the hospital. She accidentally overdosed.
Right, and the headline is misleading.
And also, that's just like one piece of this whole story.
Right, because then when she figured out she was being overprescribed on Xanax, she went off of it. But you can't, if you're like heavily reliant on Xanax, and you go off of it almost immediately, it triggers seizures. So then she started having seizures.
She went to this facility in Arizona to detox, and they were going to take care of her, and she was so excited. And she felt like she was getting better, and she was like weaning off of the Xanax, but they asked her to leave because she was like a medical liability because she was having seizures. She was scaring the staff. She said one day just her legs didn't work She collapsed and got a concussion. She hit her head and they asked her to leave. And so, and I think that's where she is now. Like she left recently and she like doesn't know
what to do,
where to turn. And I think she just like turned to her Instagram because she's like out of ideas. And
she should talk to Yolanda.
I think that's what like people were commenting. It's a really, really sad story. And she talks about how her like boyfriend's been there through. So anyways, the stuff about her family was interesting because she was like, my family and I found this facility. But then she also said that she had to pay for it herself.
Mm.
That she had to like invest her money into going, which was like an interesting factoid.
Yeah.
So there's like the Delilah piece of it. There's the health piece of it. And then of course, you know,
there's the Yolanda of it all.
And there's Rinna. Like, right. What is Rinna thinking?
Right.
And they are filming.
Yeah. No, by the way, I do think that your reasoning for Rinna wanting her not to say it is better. Is that like
more Yolanda than vaccine?
Yeah. I thought when I first heard it, like, I was like, of course, Lisa doesn't want to put her kid in the middle. Like, her kid becomes the face of like anti-vax or whatever.
I mean, she said multiple times that she's not. This is just what happened.
Right. No, she's not lying. So that's what I immediately thought. But honestly, the way you just phrased it, like her, Lisa not wanting Delilah to say anything because of the Munchausens of it all, I actually think that's a more realistic.
And that realistic. She's having these inexplicable health issues that are occurring internally that you don't necessarily
see
externally. And
it's literally what happened to Yolanda.
Back to, you know, Yolanda.
No, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like justice for Yolanda.
Yeah, but it's a really, like, sad. I mean, I know, it's she's really so sad. Young to be experiencing all of these health issues, and they just, like, keep compounding one another.
Right, like, once she finds a solution for one thing, it...
And now she's on antibiotics, antivirals, psychiatric medication. Mm. There was another... the medicine that she accidentally overdosed on wasn't Xanax. It was called propranolol.
I don't know.
But, I mean, when you're taking this many medications, it's the body... Good. And again, she's...
And she's tiny.
So, like, it's a lot.
Yeah. Damn, that's so crazy.
Yeah. I
hope she's okay. She's such a nice girl.
She's so nice. The video, she's just, like, really feeling helpless. And her dog was snoring the whole time.
I know.
And it was so cute.
I know.
Bruno was like... What? Who? Where?
No, by the way, that was Theo during this week's episode of Curb. Did you watch? Like, at the dog cafe?
Yeah.
Theo lost his fucking mind.
Oh, my God. This week's episode of Curb, the fact that she calls her dog Angel Muffin, you know that's what I call Bruce.
No, but, like, I don't think that's a weird name at all.
No, not at all. But I'm always like to talk. We're making Angel Muffins tonight. Like, like, I actually call him Angel Muffin, so it's not that far-fetched of a name.
No, it's extremely relatable.
He's a muffin made from angels.
Very true. Soft, buttery, delicious.
It's very simple.
So really wishing Delilah Bell all the best. That's really tough.
Mm-hmm. Same. Okay, next story, switching gears. Nick Lachey will be missing out on the best book ever written because he reveals he's never read his ex-wife Jessica Simpson's memoir and that he never will. He said, I know what the truth is.
Oh, please, such a gaslighter.
Well, he was on Radio Andy, and Andy asked him if
really quickly, that just reminded me of something. Mm. The craziest part about the Brittany Murphy documentary is the clips of Ashton Kutcher on the Howard Stern show. Where Howard Stern calls Brittany Murphy the fat ugly chick from Clueless. He's like, yeah, that's who you're dating right now? The fat ugly chick?
Yeah, but Ashton was really menschy about it.
Really? I thought he could have been menschier.
Really?
He was like, well, basically what he said, he's like, you know, in Hollywood, the ugly girl is always like a pretty girl, like with glasses.
Well, he's doing an interview, but he really doesn't like get in the mud with Howard. Like he, not like, yeah, and she turned it around. Like he was like, she was always beautiful. That's...
I know, I just felt like he could have like, stood up for his girlfriend more.
I thought he was menschy.
No, I wouldn't say menschy, but he could have been worse.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I hated that interview, and you know it pains me because like I love Howard and I really believe in his growth.
Yeah.
But it was really weird to hear. Like,
yeah, no, it was awful.
Awful.
But I mean, also, like, Ashton, that is his girlfriend, so he's, like, also insulting Ashton. Like,
right.
It was, but, and I thought, like, he handled it well for being in an interview and not being like, oh, I'm leaving, you know what I mean? But also turning the narrative around, like, making it about Hollywood, you know.
Okay, I don't see it that way at all. He should have stood up for his girlfriend way more and, like, walked out of the interview.
Okay.
Like, 100%. Okay. If Zach was doing an interview and somebody called you fat and ugly, like, you would want him to leave.
Okay, but, like, it's just, like, it's just different.
How?
Like, it's just different.
Because it's not you.
Yeah, that's true.
Cool.
Okay, sorry, anyways. Sorry to
interrupt. Radio Andy.
Nick Lachey went on Radio Andy and revealed that he has not given his ex-wife's memoir a read and that he won't be doing so in the future. He said, you'd be shocked to hear that I have not, nor will I ever read it. He said, here's the thing. Obviously, I knew the book was coming out. I lived the book. I know what the truth is, so I don't need to read it or read someone's version of a story. I know it. I lived it. So no, I never read it.
Okay, well, I guess he's not saying, you know, outright that it's full of lies. But you know what? It obviously was not a flattering portrayal of him.
When I think back on it, I don't think he came off so bad. Like, when I have to die, I can't remember all the details, but if I had to diagnose what went wrong is that they had two very different ideas of what a marriage should be.
I would diagnose it as when they met, she was up and coming, he was at the height of his fame, and throughout their marriage, she became a star, and he was on his way down, and he really struggled with not being the most famous person in the marriage.
Yes, but I think also... You know, and that's why they worked when they were dating, because, like, they had this, you know...
Separate lives.
Their dynamics worked for him and worked for her. She was, like, fine with being, like, you know...
She was excited to be dating someone more famous.
Yeah, and, like, opening for them and all that stuff. But then I think he thought marriage would be, you know, like, the man is the breadwinner and this and that. And, like, you know, you maybe stay home a little more. And then she's just booming. And she's like, I'm not going to do... Like, they just... They had different... I just
They, like, never even fully moved into their house because, like, she was so busy and he was not going to unpack boxes. Like, it was a woman's job.
Yeah. And also, like, I thought one of the most interesting factoids about, like, their relationship was, like, they were going through, like, a rocky time and then 9/11 happened. And
oh, yeah.
She, like, just totally fell back, like, into, love, like, because it just made her, like, realize stuff.
You know what? Now I'm remembering, it's all coming back to me. I think that the thing I took away most from this book was how insane her memory was.
Because, like, she has these journals.
Right. Like, it's so crazy.
No, she literally has journaled her whole life. Like, so these are facts.
Yeah.
So I was watching Daily Pop yesterday, and they were talking about Nick Lachey saying this, and then they were asking each other, if your ex wrote, you don't have an ex.
No, I don't. I'm okay, so lucky.
But, like, if you,
okay, if me and Ben separated and he wrote a book, yeah,
and he wrote a memoir, but just no, but it's the only thing is, it's like, you say you're about 20% of, you're not the whole book. I would say Nick Lachey was 20% of the book.
Yeah,
would you read it?
Obviously, like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, literally, I owe Ben my life. Like, if he ever wrote a book, like, about shit like I do in the house and, like, things I've said, like, oh my God, I would never be able to leave my home again. Like, I would become a mole woman.
Yeah, but maybe if you just, like, ignored it, didn't read it, like, it wouldn't affect you like Nick Lachey.
Yeah, I guess.
And also, like, this is, like, 15 years after.
I guess, yeah, 15 years later, sure, I don't care.
You have a new wife and kids.
I guess, yeah. But you know what? I always felt like...
You're hosting Love is Blind.
Right. The thing is like, I always felt like the way that they broke up and how he literally started dating Vanessa Lachey, like, a minute later and, like, got married. And, like, it's just so unfair, you know? Like, your ex-husband marries an ex-girl and it's, like, the perfect love of his life. They have a picturesque family, like, all that shit. So, you know what? I always felt like on, in the marriage front, like, he really got out on top. And now on the book, I just feel like we're even now.
Well, I would say, yes, in terms of the relationships, he got lucky, so to speak, and has this wonderful life. But, like, she also hit the jackpot in terms of her business. And, like,
yes,
he doesn't have that. They're extremely D-list.
Yeah.
And she's extremely A-list. So, like,
that's so true.
Everyone gets dealt a different hand of cards.
100%.
So you would read the book?
Yeah, I'm just a curious person.
And you're someone who reads, like, the comments. Like,
but see, okay, that's the thing. I like to think I'm a young person. That's, like, an immature thing that I do. I hope that in 15 years, I will be at a place in my life where, like, I don't give a fuck what people say. Like, I'm still emotionally immature. And, like, that's why I read comments and, like, respond to mean people on Instagram. Because I have the maturity of a 5-year-old. Like,
interesting.
I hope that in 15 years, like, I would be so evolved emotionally. I would be so mature that I wouldn't care.
That you could be like, that's your truth. I remember it differently.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really extremely mature response. I don't know if it's true. He probably did read it. But, like, if it's true, like, I have so much respect, admiration, and jealousy of your maturity, your emotional maturity.
Yeah. I agree.
But we'll see where I'm at in 15 years.
Yeah.
Probably still reading the comments.
Probably.
Hopefully there are still comments about me in 15 years.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Yes. It's the final story. My sister said I was pitchy, and it really hurt my feelings.
That wasn't pitchy.
Thank you.
That was good.
Thank you.
See?
You know what?
You know, if I'm saying something nice, that I really mean it, because I would say, wouldn't say it if it weren't true.
This is sisters fighting ASMR.
Fifth and final story, a little fashion history news. Now's your chance to own Carrie Bradshaw's tutu from the Sex and the City opener.
I'll buy it just so I can burn it.
Famed Sex and the City costume designer Patricia Field has donated the pink tank top and white tutu seen on Sarah Jessica Parker in the series' opening credits to this year's Housing Works Fashion for Action fundraiser.
That's cool.
The sale, which will also include contributions from Kathy Hilton, Joan Jett, and Chloe Sevigny, and more stars.
Want to hear a funny story about Chloe Sevigny?
Sure.
I have literally no idea who that is. Me neither. I know her name is famous, but, like, who is she? I was sitting at Soho's once, and I was waiting for someone, probably you. And she came over and, like, sat. She's like, Brenda or whatever. I'm like, no. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm meeting someone. Like, right. I don't know. And we've never met. So I thought it was you. I'm like, that's fine. And then maybe it wasn't you, because whoever I was meeting was like, that's Chloe Sevigny. I'm like, it is. She just sat down.
That's so funny. You could be her Brenda.
What is she famous for? I know. I should have just pretended.
I think she's just, like, a girly socialite girl. I don't know. Maybe she's an actress too.
I don't know her
at all.
I'll
just give her a quick Google. Chloe Sevigny is an American actress, model, and filmmaker. Oh, she was in American Psycho, Zodiac. Okay, she's an actress.
Okay.
Anyway, she's among the others who are donating items to raise money for the organization's life-saving services and advocacy for those impacted by HIV, AIDS, and homelessness. And while the shoppers will be able to peruse new designer pieces marked up to 80% off during the event, we're guessing interesting parties will need to pony up a bit more dough for Field's special donation.
Yeah, I wonder what it's going to go for.
Despite the fact that she snagged it for $5 back in the 90s, she found it in like an item of five, a bin, oh, like a bin of $5 things, and she just had the idea for SJP to wear it in the opening. SJP was so on board. They said HBO and like Darren Star weren't totally sold.
Of course not.
But eventually it made the cut.
See, that's why Patricia Field really is iconic. Like a $5 bin, mm-hmm. an iconic cultural moment, and it'll probably sell maybe like, I don't know, is that crazy to say like 10 grand?
A couple G's, I would think, yeah. And especially for a good cause, like it'll,
right, you it'll know, be marked up. People are happy to pay.
If it were at like Sotheby's,
right,
it might go for less. But I think this is a very fun.
But where, first of all, who do you think is going to buy it? Like just a regular person or like, I feel like an influencer would buy it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And like, where would they put it? Like, would they wear it? Or like, you I think put it in a glass box?
If it were an influencer, they would wear it. If it were, like, some sort of collector.
I can see, like, a New York fashion girly who's, like, a successful influencer purchasing it.
Yeah. And, like, recreating the photos.
I think that's actually a great idea. Free idea for
a New York fashion girly.
Who has, like, 10 grand lying around.
Yeah.
There's plenty of you.
Yeah. So those were our Fast Five stories, and I feel as though you needed to know them. I really, really do.
I feel like it's been a while since we had like a robust, like
this week has been robust.
Yeah.
We're 3 days of robustness, and I look forward to seeing what the rest of the week brings.
We're 3 days of Robitussin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a Vanderpump Rules recap, which is brought to you by Framebridge. Framebridge makes it easy and more affordable than ever to customize. To custom frame everything that matters without ever leaving the house. From art prints and posters to the photos sitting on your phone, you can Framebridge just about anything. Framebridge is the perfect way to give a gift that they'll actually want to receive this holiday season. Don't just give slippers again. Give them something special.
Shade.
Shade. As Jackie's literally wearing slippers.
These are real shoes. They have soles.
Go to framebridge.com and you can upload your photo, or they'll send you packaging if you have a physical photo that you want to mail in. But it's so easy. Like when you're on your phone, you can literally just upload like, oh, we took this cute pic. Let me get a frame for my house. It's so genius, and it's reinvigorating the framing space, which is so archaic. And like, you go to a framer and it's like $1,000 to like frame your graduation
and you have to like
diploma.
Lug that shit home.
Yeah, it's torture. But Framebridge has it all. They have handcrafted personalized gifts that are starting at just $39, and all their shipping is free. Plus, our listeners will get 15% off their first order at framebridge.com when they use code TOAST. They also have stores now. If you're in DC, Atlanta, New York, Philly, Boston, or Chicago, you can do it all in person. But the framebridge.com is a fabulous experience as well. Get started today. Frame your photos or send someone the perfect gift. Just go to framebridge.com. Use the promo code TOAST to save an additional 15% off your first order. That's framebridge.com, promo code TOAST. Framebridge.com, promo code TOAST.
Thank you, Claudia.
It's a pleasure.
Vanderpump Rules last night was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, there were moments where I was in and out on my phone, but then towards the end, they hooked me in.
And did you see Brock on Watch What Happens Live?
I did.
Did you see his hair?
I did.
He got a blowout. He looked like he just left Dry Bar. Like,
I know. I thought he was dressed up for Halloween.
Okay.
When they were like right before he like really introduced himself, I thought like, he dressed, I thought it was a Halloween episode.
Okay, because like Andy made a comment about his blowout, and then Sheena posted something on Instagram, and I just want to say, Julius is the name of the person who did his hair. Like, he did him dirty. No, he should have had his hair in a bun.
But that's Brock's, like, Julius did a beautiful blowout. It just didn't look great on his fotch, and he looks really nice in a man bun.
Yeah, no, I couldn't get past the hair,
no,
honestly.
It was, I thought he was wearing a wig, like, it was wild.
No, you know what? He honestly looked like a girl on her bat mitzvah. Like, he had these curls, just weird. Okay, but the actual episode. So the thing is, here's where I fall.
Okay.
I fall with, like, obviously Team Lala, mostly because, like, whatever team Tom Sandoval's on, like, I'm standing on the opposite side of the field. Like, I just, he is the worst judgment. He's literally the worst person in the world. I don't want to be anywhere near him.
He is the worst person in the world. Like, every week it gets worse and worse.
No, and every week he's like, let me go through my files, find something contradictory that somebody did in these past 5 years and bring it up just to make my argument look better. Lala, when you and Randall started dating, it's like, that was 4 years ago. That's really not, and I know people are just like, Lala doesn't want to talk about herself. It's just like, I don't think that's a valid way to argue with people, bringing up shit from 4 fucking years ago.
No, I mean, well, the argument to that would be, well, Lala's bringing up stuff from 10 years ago regarding Brock.
It's still going on.
But I agree with you completely. And also, like, the stuff with Lala, first of all, Lala and Randall have completely opened up their lives this season. Like, we see them in the morning, like, feeding the baby. Like, they are actually being, it's not like she's hiding her life anymore. And so 4 years ago, she asked, like, the cast to lie for her because she was dating a married man. And I just, like, that's just, like, reality show tings. I'm sorry, but a domestic violence charge and a restraining order is on a whole nother level. And they cannot be compared.
I completely agree. So while I do think that Lala really is coming from a good place, but she's also a reality star. She is doing her job. Like,
I also think she's extremely emotional in new motherhood, mm-hmm. and she is like projecting a lot of her fears,
concerns,
and just like, you know, all these things that are running through her mind, and she sees like her best friend in the same spot, and she can't help herself but to like inject her opinion because it's just so real for her. And I think it's completely coming from a place of caring.
Me too. And you know what? This Brock stuff, like, he just can't get his story straight. I can't follow anything he's saying on Watch Happens Live. He was going on and on about it. And then this morning, Sheena, like, they just keep changing like the timeline of stuff, and it's so confusing. Okay, this is what Sheena said on Twitter this morning that I was like, it's just all so messy. She said, and she said he was like dyslexic, so he's, did she delete it? Oh, also just to clear things up because Brock is terrible with timelines and unfortunately suffers from dyslexia, but the domestic violence order was only in place for about 5 months back in 2013. I don't know why he said 4 years ago. The kids came to America and saw him after that was lifted too, just FYI. So they're all over the place. They can't get their own story straight, but I have to say, when he said to Lisa that he slapped his wife, I got like chills. Like, first of all, because if he's admitting that, you have to assume that it's obviously worse than that. That's just like what he's willing to admit. And I just like can't believe we're all having this conversation. It's like, you know what, Tom Sandoval, you like siding with someone who slapped their wife, like that tracks. Like, you're the worst.
Yeah. Also,
I just love Katie. That's all I have to say.
Me too. Me too. Wait, I was just going to say something. Shit. I'm like losing all my trains of thoughts. Go on.
I just keep like interrupting you. That's why.
Yeah. No, it was like.
Give it a second. We'll give you a moment.
Okay. But now I'm thinking about how I'm so embarrassed.
No, putting you someone on the spot to remember something, they'll never remember it. It'll come up in like 5 minutes.
My brain.
You want to just move on?
It's just out the door. It's just give me like two more seconds.
I'll just play a game on my phone.
This is so embarrassing.
No, it's not. You're pregnant.
Okay. I guess we could just. I think I'm getting closer. No. Okay.
No?
Yeah.
Ooh, Grubhub, 35% off. Okay. So yeah, I just, when he admitted that to Lisa, I was just, obviously team
Lala. Found it. Okay. So Lala, I think, actually summed it up really perfectly, and it's exactly how I feel. So I think the way that Brock is going about it on its face, like, seems kind of, it's an interesting tactic. He's being extremely open. On Watch What Happens Live, he answered every single question.
He
wasn't offended.
He did.
Wasn't defensive. He says, I'm an open book, and he's going to share his story. This happened 10 years ago. And, like, people can change. You know, someone can be rehabilitated if they've been, like, a bad person in their past. So he's, like, going about this in a way that I think everyone else, like, someone like Tom Sandoval is like,
wouldn't.
It's like, this was 10 years ago. You're different, man. But, like, what Lala said is, like, he's giving us this, like, vile package and then putting a bow on top. Everybody's looking at
honest.
The bow of, like, Brock is being honest, Brock is sharing, when it's like, let's look at the package as well.
And you know what? There's so many holes in his story. And I have to say, Andy did a good job last night, because the most pertinent question of this all is, like, you said you wanted to leave Australia to get a better life for yourself, the American dream in America. But, like, Australia is a thriving,
there's opportunity,
first world country. Like, he was a professional rugby player. He arguably had a better life in Australia financially and professionally than he does here. He's like on a reality show.
He came here to make a better life for his family, yet he doesn't pay his kids' child support. Right. So what better, like, that's just a lie detector determined. That was a lie. Like, you're not sending money home. What is your job here?
Right.
What life did you make for
yourself? Vlogging, that's better than being a professional rugby player near your children.
You can vlog in Australia. The internet is global.
Totally.
So that doesn't add up to me.
Nothing does.
Like, stop saying you came here to make a better life for your family. Your family don't know you. They don't claim you.
They don't claim you at all.
And you don't even send the money home.
Right. You're not even doing what you came here to do.
And it's like, imagine being his ex-wife in Australia, watching him and Sheena on Watch What Happens Live last night. Like,
I'm sure she's feeling justice for herself.
I'm sure she's feeling justice for herself, but also, like, watching these two, like, try and con their way, like, through explaining an awful situation.
And you know what? Like, Sheena's probably going to end up, like, paying the child support. That's what I was thinking.
100%.
Yeah. And this is just, Sheena's just one of these people who have terrible judgment. And I think, like, a year or two from now, like, her storyline will be like, you know, she was taken for a ride by Brock.
Yeah, the thing about...
I mean, I want to believe. I want to believe.
The thing about Brock, though, is he doesn't seem like...
A villain.
A bad guy. Like, it seems like, yes, everything in his past, like, it's not good. But it is possible that he is a better person now. Of course. That he would not do something like that again. That he's learned from his mistakes. It cost him everything mm-hmm. at one point. And so I think it's not impossible that him and Sheena, like, live happily ever yeah. after. But, like, you can't expect everyone to just hear that. Know that you have this new baby with a woman who is... Who is not the strongest.
Impressionable.
Yeah, like, you know, Sheena's just, she's kind of the weak link. Like, she's so trusting. Yeah. She's so naive.
Sweet. Like,
and so it's up to her friends to watch out for her sometimes. Yeah. And then they become the villain. I'm sorry, I'm grabbing my army green Chanel boy and I'm leaving as well.
That bag was sick.
Her looks are so sickening. Everything about her, like, everything she's just so fucking on point.
Also, last week you said that Brock said something that signaled to you that he might have watched Vanderpump Rules previously. He said, he said, we're not all sucking dick for Range Rovers, which is something that was said previous seasons and, like, probably Brock had seen it. Then Sheena spilled last night that, like, she had once adopted a penguin for Rob and then, you know, without knowing, Brock adopted her a koala when they were in Australia. And honestly, what you had said the week prior really, like, struck a chord with me, because it's like he's definitely studying something. Like,
he has the answers to the test and now he's just
cruising. Totally.
It'll come back. Like, I mean, everyone's colors, like, eventually show, especially on these shows. So, I mean, him and Sheena keep saying, like, well, you'll see this season. I'm like, I'm watching this. Sheena was on Watch What Happens Live, like, 4 weeks ago also.
Well, you know what? She is the topic of conversation. That's the other thing. They're on this weird transitional period where all the good people have left the show, all the people who actually do and say stuff. We're left with, like, the stragglers. And Lala's making things happen. So Sandoval and Sheena and Brock are all mad that, like, something off camera was said on camera. Like, you know what? I'm actually, as a viewer, I'm very grateful. What the fuck else would we be talking about? Lisa's Kitchen? Oh, the cocktails? Oh, you know what? Every time Tom Sandoval shows up somewhere, he brings, like, 11 shopping bags. And if he's never invited to my home. I hate when people do that.
I absolutely loved, like, he was making Schwartz, like, feel bad about his simple cocktail. He was you know me. I'm
extra.
Extra. And you're just, like, so simple. Everybody loved Schwartz's cocktail. And Sandoval's will not be making the menu.
And I thought when he took the thing off and there was no smoke, that was, like, the best moment of my life.
Katie was like, I didn't see smoke. Sorry.
Katie is the unsung hero. She doesn't even do or say much, but when she's always on the right side. Mm-hmm. And I just think she's really turning
this
into...
This season. Like, yeah. Every season is a different journey
for Katie.
But this season, she's just
so
giving...
So over everyone.
I said it a few weeks ago. She's giving us nothing, thereby giving us everything.
Yeah, it's just, like, so stupid. Like, there's such a clear right and wrong side of this whole Brock thing. And, like, she already hates Sandoval. And the fact that... And, you know, that's the other thing. This has nothing to do with Sandoval. Not one iota of a thing to do with Sandoval. And he's inserting himself. When he told Lisa to give me a fucking second, that was crazy.
No, this man is out of control.
He's unhinged. He's losing his mind. And you know what? I love that Ariana doesn't stick up for him. Like, it makes me love her so much.
Like, I need them to break up.
I know. I just, like, I don't know how she honestly puts up with him. All of his extraness. Because she's such, like, a low-key girl. She's really not like other girls. Like, she's really low-key and... chill and cool.
It makes me think that he has to have some sort of reformation if they're still together right now, because this behavior is not sustainable.
I thought you were going to say he has to have something over Ariana. That's why she stays with him.
Oh, no. But that, like, I want to just be optimistic and think maybe he, like, turns a corner, because him behaving this way, and by the way, her never sticking up for him, which, by the way,
it's so great,
is everything. But that can't last in a relationship. No. So something clearly changes between them because they're still together.
Okay. And also, last night was just, like, the episode of Sandoval being so annoying. Like, when he got to the restaurant, he's like, lights, we'll put a light bar, the door, the chandelier. I'm like, shut up. Like, seriously, shut up. You've never owned a restaurant in your life. You barely own the one that you have 5% of. Like, shut up.
Even when he walked into poker night and he was, like, wearing his hat and
everything.
Extra. Like, I literally, my eyes entered rolled. The back. They saw my brain. I was just like, those moments are chipping away at me.
I agree. My soul, like, I don't know how much longer I can watch a show while Sandoval's on it. Like, it eats everything. You know, the vagina candle. Like, everything is, like, a moment. He thinks he's so funny and cutesy and gonna go viral. And he doesn't know, like, with every shopping bag he brings to someone's home, like, it's eating away at the souls of the viewers.
But then, like, the thing is, like, there are people on Twitter, like, there are people out there
who don't say it. I refuse.
Standoffs.
You're lying. That's what they call themselves.
No, that's what I'm calling them.
That's a good name.
That is a good name. And he only needs to see one comment to know, to think he's doing something right and to keep forging ahead.
Okay. I remember I read something in Vanity Fair like a million years ago when Anne Hathaway was going through her like weird thing. And the leading line of the article was like, somebody told Anne Hathaway that she was America's sweetheart and she believed it. And that's literally what's happening to Tom Sandoval. Like, somebody told him that, like, he's the best part of the show and he's always right and that we love him. And he believed it so vehemently.
It's not even that. It's that he was in, like, a pageant for America's Sweetheart with seven other cast members.
And they all got fired. Yeah.
And that makes him the winner.
By default, yeah, I guess. Even though technically I think it makes Schwartz the winner.
But Schwartz is not an OG. He never even worked at Sir. And like, Schwartz is always going to be a foil. He's never going to be the leading man, nor does he want to be.
Yeah, there's no one. Maybe it's James, actually. Like, I don't know where we go from here. It's Lala.
But I guess technically, like.
But people do not like Lala.
No, I know. But by default, Sandoval is the number one guy in that group.
Agreed. And it's eating away at all of us.
I would rather see Brock in the role.
I would literally rather see Ken.
Yeah. I'd rather see Max.
Brett. Anyone. Like, I'll literally take Lorelai. Anyone. Yeah. Lee, whatever her name was. So that is a Vanderpump recap. Tonight is part four.
Also, what's the deal with Charlie?
Oh, yeah.
She wasn't in the last two episodes.
She was in last night. She got the hot sauce.
No. And then, like, she comes in and it's just, like, automatically throwing shade at Lala for not, like, respecting her food.
Dietary restrictions.
And she still hasn't, like, really explained them to us.
She just doesn't eat pasta.
No, it's, like, deeper than that. You saw the episode in Palm... Oh, you might have skipped that one.
Probably.
There's an episode in Palm Springs where, like, she talks about how she has, like, food... like, some sort of food trauma from, like, growing up. She would, like, have to eat certain things. It was hard. It was... she didn't fully explain what it was. And it was also, like, something I had not heard. Like, it was hard to understand. And now she just thinks that we all know, but we still don't really know.
I definitely skipped that episode.
Yeah. She just has just food...
Trauma,
yeah. And I guess she didn't feel supported by Lala. But it was just, like... it's just weird.
Yeah. Part four of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion is tonight. Finally, I'm like ready for it to be over. Andy tweeted that, like, this is the one. They talk about the $20 million put into EJ Global, the phone calls from Tom, her threatening Sutton. Like, it's the Erica show. So that will be in the TV recap tomorrow. And then Thursday's Winter House, right?
No, or is that tonight? Tonight's Winter House.
Ooh, I hate when there's two Bravo shows, like 2 hours. Like, I like 1 hour. It's a nice way to end the night.
But if it starts at 8, it's okay.
Yeah, 8 to 10, good. 9 to 11, bad. So that is our show. Thank you guys so much. We hope you have an amazing hump day. Thank you so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, the Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. And if you've made it to the end of the episode, congratulations. You are one of the very few toasters who actually listens to the end because you actually care about our feelings. And so, to let us know that you're still here, go drop a comment on our most recent Instagram of the microphone because Jackie made fun of my singing. Wow. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.